Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on. And this is OnlyFans Q&A Live, the only show that we do. We actually do a couple of shows now on our Discord. And that's at discord.gg/OnlyFans. You can become a member there for $3 a month. We do the show live. Of course, it goes on our 3 yards per carry feed. We do this show every single week, all season. Of course, this is the dead of the off season. OTAs kind of concluded today because it was the 28th and the 29th. Today's the 29th, May 29th. So I guess now is when they're going to embark on their long hiatus until training camp. So, you know, we have some orange jersey winners. The latest was Liam Eikenberg, which brings about all kinds of, I don't know. I thought it was really weird to go on Twitter today and people fretting because the guy won the orange jersey. Like, people can improve, guys. People can improve, all right? And yes, Liam Eikenberg can be one of those that improved. So I don't know why people have to fret that, oh, my God, you know, Liam Eikenberg is out there and he's running. I thought it was pretty cool, by the way, that Tyreek Hill called him Nancy. Remember that whole episode of him having that burner account? Yeah, not much is going on. We will get into all of that. There's questions in the chat. There's people that are coming up. But before we do anything, let me just say this. We were shaken this morning on Twitter to learn that a longtime member of Dolphins Twitter, listener of the show, follower of all of us on the podcast, Deb Swimmer, her at Twitter is at Debs Swim, DebSwim 2010, passed. Not sure if it was yesterday or possibly today, but many are mourning her loss, and we mourn it as well here, as she was one of the very best on Dolphins Twitter. Very, very positive person. It was interesting that one of her last posts on Twitter was about kindness is badass, which is the truth. So, rest in peace, Deb Swimmer. We'll give her 5 seconds here on the show before we move on. Rest in peace, Deb Swimmer. All right, she would want to talk Dolphins football, so we're going to get on with it. We have some here in the chat. We have plenty of questions, so we're going to try to get to all of it. It's OTA season, which can be kind of silly. But as I bring you up, identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, you're up.
Hi, my name is Doug Daniels. I'm Doug Daniels on Twitter. I actually have a few questions, if that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the first one I have, And I would just like to put a little disclaimer out. I'm probably described as a homer when it comes to the Dolphins stuff, but I do have like a little bit of a concern, and not sure if, you know, if I'm just being crazy or if this is something other people will be thinking, but, you know, just like looking around the league, you see Jared Goff get his deal done, St. Brown, Nico Collins, Devontae Smith. And, you know, like, I know we say like Tua's going to get done, like the tea leaves are all there. Tua's going to get done, but it just, I don't know if it's like PTSD when you saw the DT get signed last year, and we were saying Wilkins is going to get done. Wilkins is going to get done. The market's right there. And I'm just kind of getting worried, not necessarily with Tua, because I do still think that's going to get done, but is Greer going to let this trickle too far into camp and season to get it done? And you kind of delay what you could do with Waddle and Holland. And because not getting those guys locked up is, you know, I think those are like our next core guys coming up.
I can give you a little bit of insight on this. Tua's deal is essential to getting everybody else done. And I could kind of, not that I have inside information on this, but let me just say that I'm well-versed and educated on all of this. Tua's deal is essential to try to get all of these other guys done, because there's a bunch of moving pieces in here. They're trying to allocate money either forward or backward, and they're going to have to agree to the right structure to be able to fit some of these guys in the right spots. I think it's entirely possible that once Tua is done, that you will hear a Jalen Waddle extension announced immediately. The one that I'm a little skeptical of, and I think Chris Kaufman opened my eyes to this, is Javon Holland, okay? I think you want to see him play in this system, because this system is essentially the wave going forward. And I understand what people are saying. Wait a minute, but, you know, if Anthony Weaver's a hit, he's going to be gone, and then you're going to have a new system next year. No, not necessarily. Think about it like this. Let's say that the Jets are absolutely awful, right? And Robert Saleh becomes available, or Jeff Ulrich becomes available, which would be, I would say, 1A and 1B as far as on the wish list. If Anthony Weaver is a success and he's gone as a head coach, they run the exact same system. Okay? So, you know, this is Mike McDonald is the new flavor of the month, and his defensive system, which is predicated on a lot of cover three, is essentially the new wave taking over the league. So I think you want to see Javon Holland play with a lot of responsibility first. And yeah, is it going to cost you a lot more money? Yes. Now, the guy that I do think can make it to the 23rd hour is Jalen Phillips, because he's coming off of an Achilles. I think that's the guy that you just want to see. You want to see. And now, is it going to cost you more money? Yeah, but that's, you know, unlucky you. You know, the good news is, if he costs you more money, that means that he just took off. The bad news is, if he doesn't cost you much more money, that means that he didn't recover from his Achilles all that great. But I do expect Tua and Waddle to be done rather quickly, and essentially a two-man domino. I think once one gets done, the other gets done immediately thereafter.
That's good to hear, because I would actually say Waddle is the most important after Tua, where I would actually be okay with Len Holland, like you're talking about. You kind of just see, I know Tyreek and Ramsey are just on a different level, but, you know, just seeing how quick Greer could get them to extensions, and then with our own guys, it's kind of, I don't know, he holds his price.
Yeah. I think Waddle is in that group of guys that are going to, you know, get a hefty number. You know, I don't think that the contracts that have come down have necessarily hurt the negotiations or his number or his price. I don't think he's a $30 million a year wide receiver. I think he's going to fall right in line there with Devonta Smith, you know, $25 million a year or maybe a little bit more. And Once you get into 25, 26, 27, you're moving money around for the first 2 or 3 years, or maybe even front loading some of it in 2025, while Tua's number is going to be relatively low in 2025. The whole key is going to be Tua Tagovailoa's structure going forward. And I think it's going to be, and I've said this many times on the podcast before, I think it's going to be very similar to what Jalen Hurts signed. So you're going to have essentially a window of about 3 seasons. So we're talking this one, 2024, 2025, and 2026. And then 2027, they have decisions to make. Okay? And that's when you're probably going to have a makeover on certain parts of the roster. They have another immediate decision on Tyreek Hill, what they're going to do with his 2025 number. I don't think he's going to play on that number. So my guess is one of two things. 2025 is his last season, or they will extend him for 2026, and then 2026 is his last season. But I do believe Waddle will get extended, and Tua, of course, will get extended. I think he's first. Javon Holland, I think, can make it into training camp or the season. I think they want to see a little bit more. And, man, safeties don't cost a lot of money. And if people think that he's going to be a $20 million guy like Antoine Winfield, that is not happening. Go look at what Antoine Winfield did last season. He had a Defensive Player of the Year season last year, while our guy had two MCL tears and missed half the season. So, different kind of player, different circumstances, I would say. You have anything else?
Yeah, actually, I have a. It's actually probably more of a statement than I have a question, and then I'll we could pass it on. The first thing that's a statement. You know, like you said, like it's a dead period. You know, the team wants to see what we have. So, you know, I was kind of just in my notes putting down who I think is, you know, probably a lock to make the team, who's close to, you know, like a bubble guy and like things like that. And I got to say, we're probably, injuries are going to happen, but I got to say, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. Like I felt like Keon Smith showed some promise. Like he's definitely on the bubble. Even a guy that like Jody Fortson, who I think has a role, like you're going to have to make a decision on him, the wide receivers, even like in the secondary, what if, you know, Wingfield said Tyndall looked great the other day. What if he like shows up? You know, I do think this team has depth, and I do think we're going to make a couple more signings, but we're definitely going to have some tough decisions, in my opinion.
I agree.
And then my question is, I'm a Connecticut Dolphins fan. I'm probably going to go down for the Cardinals game, so just for a weekend trip, and I was kind of seeing if you have any recommendations what to do, like on a Saturday night, and, you know, what's the best plan for the pregame experience?
Well, the pregame experience, anything on the stadium grounds is going to be great. But if you're going to stay anywhere, shoot me a DM and I'll give you a good place to stay. The Pembroke Shops area is a pretty nice area to hang out at night. A lot of movement there.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There, Good bars, good restaurants, a lot of fun. There's a really good hotel nearby. I can give you that information if you DM me. So I'm always out there, and maybe I'll do something for that game for our OnlyFans members. So who knows? But DM me, and I'll hook you up.
Will do. Thanks.
All right, man. All right. Thank you. All right. Let me get to some of these questions in the chat. There are a few. If anybody else wants to pipe in with some of their questions, that's good too. And you don't have to keep it to football. You could ask me anything. You want to ask me about the Panthers? That's great. By the way, tonight, Dallas and Edmonton, kind of important. You want that series to go a little long. So go Edmonton. Tie the series up tonight. All right, here's some questions. One of Aaron Brewer's qualities over Connor Williams was his durability. But I see he was injured and not participating this week. Do you know anything about his injury? Thanks. He was stretching off to the side. It seems to be some type of leg injury. Nothing serious, because he was getting some. Although I wasn't there. These are all just spy reports. He was getting in some cardio. So he's essentially pretty close to playing. But you don't want to aggravate anything in May that could damage him for his start in training camp. So, you know, that one's interesting. Who would be a better value free agent safety for signing for us? Justin Simmons or Quandre Diggs? Justin Simmons is a superstar, okay? I think Quandre Diggs is really, really underrated. And I think he'll be much cheaper than Justin Simmons. And he would be a fabulous fit. But, you know, who am I kidding? Either one would be a fabulous fit. And they both have the versatility to play pretty much anywhere in our defense and in this scheme. So either one would be a great signing. I like Quandre Diggs a little bit more since Javon Holland's going to be asked to do a lot. So I kind of like Diggs a little bit better. He's cheaper, more bang for your buck. But either one would be awesome. Next question. Jack Driscoll struggled a little this week. How hard is it to switch from tackle to guard and from a gap blocking scheme to an outside zone scheme? The difference between a gap blocking scheme and an outside zone scheme is massive. Although he can do it. There's a lot of elements of that in Philadelphia. He played guard in Philadelphia. I think his best tape is at guard. I don't think he's a tackle. I don't think he's a very good tackle in the NFL. I think he could be an above-average guard in the NFL. As far as him struggling this week, I tend to just ignore it. They're not in pads, so we won't know anything. Come training camp, they're 11-on-11. They wear pads, okay? And once they wear pads, you know, you could glean something from a pass rush, okay? You could glean something from what the defensive tackles are doing with your guards. Who's winning? I would say that's more important. I don't think too much is important now. You just want to get a little bit of time between your quarterbacks and your pass catchers. That's the most important thing. And you want to start installing some of the coverages to make sure people know the nomenclature and the calls. That's extremely important. And that was also very nice to see that Javon Holland got the orange jersey, because that means he's picking up some of the system, which is going to be pretty much on his shoulders. Next question. Tua's throwing style has apparently changed. Yeah, it has. Getting his hips more involved. Can you tell us a little bit about the mechanics of his new technique and how it physically impacts his action and delivery? It's going to create a much better platform to deliver the football. He's going to be able to move through delivery and follow through much quicker, which should give him a lot more power in between the tackles, throwing the football. So that's pretty good. It's also going to keep it more conscious in his mind that he has to bring his hips forward, which means, remember, you got to think about it as a lefty, okay? So left foot back, right foot up, okay? It's going to keep his left foot on his toes, bringing his hip forward, which means it's going to make it really, really difficult for him to throw off his back foot. And that's something that has happened to him before. If you remember the interception in the playoff game against the Chiefs, that was off his foot. Let it sail a little bit, because he tried to arm throw it instead of using proper mechanics. If he's going to be conscious of that, that's going to make him a better thrower of the football, a more consistent thrower of the football. And if that happens, that means less turnovers, which means big touchdown numbers and small interception numbers, which means MVP candidacies, which means more wins, division titles, and a shot at a Super Bowl. So all those things are good things. Next question. The new kickoff rules will presumably suit some teams' offensive playing style better than others. Which are we? He asks, which are we? And what aspects of our game will work in our favor or against? Thanks. Nothing really against, in favor. Chris Kaufman talked about it today on OnlyFans. And again, you can become a member there at OnlyFans. Discord.gg/OnlyFans. You become a member there for $3 a month. He was talking about it today that a lot of these returns are going to work a lot like outside zone. Dolphins practice it. They know it inside out. They got the right return men for it, too. So, yeah, this plays right into Dolphins' hands. Next question. The fact that Liam Eichenberg got the orange jersey at practice this week suggests to me that he is being teed up for a starting spot. In any case, what are the odds that we sign a starting caliber interior offensive lineman before the season begins? And how does that compare with the odds you had offered 6 weeks ago? I still think that the odds are good. I look at the numbers on the offensive line, and I think they're short a player. I think they're short a player because you essentially have what you had last year. I think you want to upgrade over at least two spots. If you want to upgrade at least over two spots, you're adding a new player in Jack Driscoll, which means that there is one more that could be a holdover from last year. I'm looking at you, Lester Cotton. So, stands to reason you will want to replace that one, right? You want to upgrade at least one spot. So if you're upgrading at least one spot, you need another player because you're missing players. Remember, you lost Robert Hunt. So they're short a player as far as I can tell. On the interior, by the way. If you can only sign one free agent on Saturday, which position do we need the most? Defensive line, safety, or interior offensive line? Thanks. The best player available out there is Calais Campbell. Now, I don't know how expensive he's going to be. He was extremely productive last year as a pass catcher. I mean, as a pass rusher. So I would say Calais Campbell makes a ton of sense. But I still feel as if, man, we're short in the secondary, right? Like, we could use a safety. At least that's the way I see it. So, I would say a safety, man. If you could get Quandre Diggs in here, that'd be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? So, absolutely. Quandre Diggs, a safety. Bring him in. Next question. Silly question. Does post-June 1st mean the money is available on June 1st or the 2nd? That's not a silly question. That's actually a pretty good question. It's available on the 2nd. So, it's a misconception. Oh, my God, you're flush on the 1st. No, on the 1st, he comes off the books. On the 2nd, you get the money. So, it's on the 2nd. Any word about how the players are getting on with the new DC, Anthony Weaver, and his staff? It seems all swell. You heard what Javon Holland had to say. So, yeah, Javon Holland wasn't, I guess, enamored with Vic Fangio. Next question. Thoughts on the idea of changing OTAs to having a longer training camp? That's the way it used to be. There used to not be any OTAs. Used to have longer training camps with two-a-days. So, you're going to get back to that? Why not? I agree. I like it. Who are you putting on return duty for the new kickoff rules? Devon Achane. I don't even have to think about it. And in the playoffs, I might put Tyreek Hill back there. Or Jalen Waddle. Who knows? I might put them both back there. How's that? All right, we're going to take a couple more, and then we'll get out of here for this week. Remember, Marek Brave and I, we do this show every Friday called The Offseason. We do it on OnlyFans as well, and that's on discord.gg/OnlyFans. You could, you know, participate in those too. You could ask questions. You could participate. That show is more about essentially everything, although we do touch on the Dolphins a little bit. We're going to take a couple more questions, and then we're out for the week. Somebody writes, replacement level player for the term use. Yes, that's actually a baseball term that's been taken over by football people. But it's essentially, it was originally a baseball term. Does Paul look as bad as people were saying during the draft? I don't think anybody can know how bad or how good he looks. Like I said, it's OTAs. You're not going to know anything. You know? Get back to me during training camp. That's when we could begin to have a pretty strong evaluation. All right, last question. How good would Yetiel Green have been if not for the injuries? That's it's way out of left field, but it's a great question. Yetiel Green was an absolute freak. I saw him in training camp. I saw him when he got hurt. He was going to do things on that team. If I had to compare him to a certain type of player, man, he's so hard to compare back then. But I want to compare to somebody today. He was a lot like Michael Thomas, like really, really strong, you know, and athletic, fast. So, you know, you could compare him to Michael Thomas in the sense that he took up space when he caught the ball, but his athleticism was more Andre Johnson-like. He was going to be a big deal. And, you know, back then, man, it was when you took a really bad knee injury, meaning ACL, MCL, LCL, you know, total blowout. You know, it probably meant your career. And that's kind of what happened to him. But he was going to be a good one. He was going to be something. He was going to be a good, good player. All right. We're going to leave it at that right here. You could join us again next week. We will be here all year round. We're going to do this once a week. That's OnlyFans Q&A Live. And again, you want to participate in these shows. You want to ask questions. You want to get on the air. You go to discord.gg/OnlyFans. You become a member there for $3 a month. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.